The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David is with us every month to remind us constantly that the foundation of our freedom, the reason that America is different than other countries, is because of a constitution that limits the power of what's going on in Washington, D.C. Now, most of what's going on is subversive. Most of it is unconstitutional. Because a small, wicked, subversive coup controls both political parties and gets away with it because, of course, they control the media, and the average American finds it difficult. Well, they know something's wrong, but they can't connect the dots. And what is happening is basically a small group, subversive group, controls our government and is using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, which is exactly the opposite of what our founders wanted. They wanted to limit the power of government, to stay out of foreign affairs. They wanted our people to be free. Instead of that, of course, everything is regulated, and the president is increasingly writing executive orders unauthorized by Congress, but certainly with the power of the military and the intelligence agencies behind him, why he does what he wants to. And remember, he is simply a front for the power elite, for the Trilateral Commission that controls America today. Well, with that as the background, Pastor David Whitney, we need to get back to the Constitution, so please do.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. It's amazing to contrast the ideas of our founders with what modern politicians espouse, that, oh, you can trust government. Let government do whatever it needs to do for your good and blah, 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 all these kind of lies that they put forward, where our founders said, no, don't trust government. You must mistrust government. That's the only way. Your life, your liberty, your property, that's the only way that they will be secured. So they crafted a very wise system of checks and balances, not only between what we think of as the three branches of government, the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative, but also between the four levels of government, federal, state, county, and local, which might be town or township, depending on what part of the country you're in. So they knew that those levels, as well as those branches of government, created a grid that would cause each of those to be a check against abuse of power by the other branch or the other level of government. In fact, when they crafted our Constitution, the great objection to it in terms of the ratification was that, well, that there's something missing here. There's a Bill of Rights that is needed because this is not safe. Yes, powers have been limited, delegated, enumerated by the Constitution itself, but that's not enough. Kind of like the analogy of a football field. The boundaries of that football field are just a little bit of white chalk on grass, and the end zone and the sidelines are all just white chalk on grass. So you might liken our seven articles of the U.S. Constitution to the playing field within those white lines. Yet we know, and our founders knew very clearly, fallen, sinful human nature is going to do everything it can to violate those boundaries, to, in a sense, often even erase those white chalk lines, you know, dump a bucket of Gatorade on them or something so you can obliterate them and play outside the boundary. So they wisely, when they were ratifying the Constitution, insisted upon a Bill of Rights that, in a sense, would build a brick wall at each of those sidelines and at the end zone, a brick wall so that the play could never go outside. That is, the powers of the federal government could never be exercised outside of the boundaries of the seven articles of our U.S. Constitution. So it's very important in understanding the Constitution to understand the additional limitations that the Bill of Rights place upon the actions of the federal government. And we've been walking through that Bill of Rights for several months here because it is so important to understand each element of that. And if you just want a quick outline, most people know a good deal about the First Amendment, and the Second Amendment obviously is very important. Less known, of course, is the Third Amendment. But Amendments 4 through 8 all deal with what happens if the government suspects you of committing a crime, violating the law, or the government moves beyond suspicion to taking action against you. And as we've said, the Fourth Amendment protects you from unreasonable searches and seizures. That is, if the government suspects you of something, they cannot go on a fishing expedition trying to find dirt on you. No, they have to have probable cause. They have to go through the process of obtaining a warrant to investigate anything, to listen to your telephone calls or investigate your email or anything like that. They cannot just do it as they please, which, sad to say, our current regime, and for more than a decade now, has been doing exactly that, violating the law. They are lawbreakers, and they ought to be brought to justice. Now, if in investigating you, they do find something that would cause you to be taken to trial, the Fifth Amendment protects your personal and property rights in that situation. Five protections of the Fifth Amendment: grand jury indictment for any capital offense. That is, if you're going to be charged with a crime that might take your life, it has to go before a grand jury before it actually goes to trial. And double jeopardy is the second protection. You're protected against being tried twice in the same jurisdiction for the same offense. Third is no compulsory self-incrimination. That's what most people mean when they say, I plead the Fifth. That is, I do not have to testify against myself. And the fourth protection is we cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And then the fifth protection of the Fifth Amendment is that the government cannot take private property for public use without just compensation. Now, if it moves beyond the stage of just investigation to actual charges being levied against you by the government, if it is a criminal charge, then the Sixth Amendment gives you seven protections if you are charged criminally by the government. The speedy trial is the first, the public trial is the second, the third is a jury in the state and district wherein the crime is alleged to have been committed. Fourth is that you are to be informed of those charges with significant time and particularity that you can prepare a defense. Fifth is that you can confront and cross-examine anybody accusing you. No anonymous tipsters are permitted in court. It has to be a person willing to stand in a witness stand and be cross-examined to determine if their testimony is true or false. Sixth protection is that you have the power of subpoena. You can call upon witnesses to testify on your behalf in your defense. You can compel them, force them to be there and in court. And the seventh protection of the Sixth Amendment is that you are promised the assistance of counsel, right to a qualified attorney. If you are unable to afford one, then the state would provide one for you. That is all criminal. That is, if you're charged with breaking a statute that exists in law, and yet there's a whole another category of trials that take place, and the division of the category between criminal and civil has a long history, going back to the Roman division.
We're going to have to cut you off here. We're going to be back in just a moment. It's about to be able to understand the whole purpose of our country, of the power of government.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs: long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, and David, you pick up the story.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a beautiful thing that our founders put together here. So the Sixth Amendment deals with protection if you are charged criminally, but going all the way back to Roman law, there was a division between criminal cases, that is the government charging you, the state of New York versus so-and-so, versus two individuals in society that are involved in a lawsuit against one another. This is the civil realm, the civil cases. So you may not have violated a specific law, and so the government's not charging you with a crime, but a fellow citizen may sue you because they believe you have done them a wrong. You have injured them, even though there isn't a specific statute that states what that injury is. So this whole category is dealt with by the Seventh Amendment to our Constitution, your rights in a civil case. And the first right is a right to a trial by jury in cases involving common law and more than $20. That figure, $20, has not changed since it was proposed and ratified in 1791 when the Bill of Rights came into effect, an amazing transformation, because in most states, my state is one example, you have to have a case that's over $15,000 at contest before you have a jury trial, and then they will only permit a jury of six, not a jury of 12. Our founders knew that your rights were best protected by a jury of your peers. It's not the judge that makes the best decisions for in a particular case that would keep the rights of the individual secured. No, it is a jury of your peers. Consider this. When you walk into the courtroom, there's only one group in that courtroom that has the potentiality of being objective. That is, they don't stand to gain anything personally from what transpires in the courtroom. The judge is not objective, and he always gains from what takes place in the courtroom. His career depends on what takes place there in the courtroom with every single case that goes before him. So he's not an objective outside observer. Certainly the attorneys in a criminal case, a district attorney, he advances in his career by getting notches on his belt. So the more convictions he brings down, even if they wind up convicting innocent people and sending innocent people to jail, which happens every day in America, even if that's the case, it doesn't matter. He advances in his career. It isn't necessarily about justice. And likewise with the other attorneys defending their clients or in a civil case, that if they win for their clients, their career is advanced. The more wins they have, and or the greater the rewards that their client is obtained in a civil case, the higher their career rises. More customers will come their way, more clients, and so their career is advanced or inhibited by what takes place there in the courtroom. The only people in that courtroom who can be truly objective because they don't stand to gain anything personally from the outcome of the trial is the jury. They are the only objective observers, and they should be, as our founders clearly said, and they were basing their wisdom not on their own thoughts, but really on English common law dating all the way back to Magna Carta. At least we have written records, perhaps before Magna Carta, the function of the jury was the same. But when a jury judges the law, as it is supposed to do according to our founders, that's what they meant when they used the term jury, a jury that judges the law and the facts. I know I've been challenged many times on that. Wait a minute, David, how could you say that when the common court today and the judges today and all the attorneys today say, no, the judge determines what the law is. The jury doesn't judge the law. Well, I can tell you it's easy to measure what our founders meant by the words they used that they put to paper. Webster's 1828 dictionary. It was written for that particular purpose. Noah Webster said he wrote that dictionary in order to preserve the meaning of the words that were used in our founding documents so succeeding generations would be able to understand what was meant when the founders put pen to paper. And so if you look up the word jury in the 1828 dictionary, you will find that the word jury specifically means a body of 12 citizens that determine and judge the law as well as judge the fact. And we teach in our jury course, which is one of the courses in addition to the U.S. Constitution course, that they must judge it on the basis of two standards. One is the standard spoken of in our Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and nature's God. That is the supreme law of the universe, God's law, that as our founders clearly stated, is contained in the Bible. God's law is a measure as to whether a law is valid or invalid. So, for example, if some benighted legislature spills ink on a piece of paper and some benighted executive signs it and some benighted judiciary says, oh, yeah, that's law. Well, if it doesn't comport with God's law, it's not law at all. So my state and the other foolish states that have said that two men can marry or two women can marry, no, they can't. That's not marriage. The Creator has defined it, and the Creator has given it its meaning, and no human idiots can change the meaning of the word marriage. They are fools for doing so, and there will be hell to pay for all eternity for those fools that have done so, spitting in the face of their Creator. So that's the first standard. The laws of nature and nature's God by which a jury is to measure if a law is truly lawful. The second standard is the constitutional standard. The U.S. Constitution and the state constitutions, again, determine what limited delegated powers we have given to federal government and state governments. And if the government is acting outside of those powers and crafting a piece of legislation, that piece of legislation is not lawful. So, for example, Obamacare, how can it be lawful when you read Article 1, Section 8 very clearly? The health care of the American citizen is in no way, shape, or form the business of the federal government. We have not granted them any power to regulate, to tax, to do anything in the realm of health care. It's not on the list of 18 items listed in Article 1, Section 8, where we, the people, have given delegated, enumerated, limited powers to the federal government to do a very limited list of things. Healthcare is not on that list. Therefore, the entire Obama thing ought to be thrown out. Any jury that hears any case in any way related to Obamacare can very quickly open the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, look at it and say, this can't be lawful. Therefore, the person is not guilty. Doesn't matter what the facts are. The law itself is on trial, as I believe it is Justice Scalia has wisely said. The law is on trial as much as the individual. And so the law must first be tested to see if it is truly lawful according to the laws of nature and nature's God, supreme law of the universe, and according to the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. That's the job of a jury. And quite clearly, a judge is not going to tell the jury that. In our day, they don't. And quite clearly, the prosecutor isn't, and the attorneys in either case aren't going to, because they don't want the jury doing that. It messes up their system. It messes up their power and their ability to act unlawfully as they do time and time again. So if we have a jury trial and the jury is trained citizens, which again is the key, you don't want citizens who know nothing about the Constitution. Ideally, every juror would only be selected who has studied the Constitution. I would love our Constitution course to be offered as a preparation for a person to be able to even serve in the jury pool so that they would know the standard by which they need to measure law. In fact, that could be easily done. Usually it's the clerk of the county court, one of those political positions that's usually not very hotly contested in a race. Oftentimes there's only one person's name on the ballot for clerk of the county court. But that clerk of the county court, in most jurisdictions, he determines what the jury training will be before the people are impaneled in a jury, and he could train them. Here's the U.S. Constitution, and take them through that course, take them through the jury course in those 18 sessions, 12 for the U.S. Constitution, 6 for the jury course. They would receive a complete preparation and training to be true constitutional jurors who would judge the law and the facts, which is what our founders envisioned, which is why they held out that the jury was one of the most precious palladiums, that's the term they use, palladium of liberty, one of the touchstones of liberty. You're going to have your rights preserved. It's going to be by the jury much more than by the legislature or the executive or the judicial branch. It's your fellow citizens if they are properly trained, which, again, begs the need in America today. We need to train up millions upon millions of Americans with the American view of law and government that our courses offer, because they are your best security for liberty. And in terms of who they vote for when they, vote for somebody to represent you, either at the state level or county level or federal level, and how they cast their vote as a juror, that they understand their job is to judge the law as well as the facts. So our founders knew that even in civil cases, which again today is widely rejected, especially at the state level, even in civil cases, a trial that is going to bring the best result in terms of justice being served is a trial that is judged by the jury, judging the law as well as judging the facts. Now, the second half of the Seventh Amendment, securing our rights in civil cases, deals with the fact that a judge cannot substitute his opinion for that of the jury. He is not in control of the outcome, or he's not supposed to be in control, let's put it that way. Our founders did not allow the judge to be in control of the outcome of a trial. And again, that is quite in contrast to what we see is the realities on the ground. Well, I guess I shouldn't call them realities. The unconstitutionalities on the ground is what I should really call it. Those unconstitutionalities on the ground in almost all courtrooms of America today. In courtrooms of America today, the judge determines what evidence can be brought to bear. Why does he get to determine that? Why doesn't the two attorneys, prosecuting attorney, if it's a criminal case, or the defense attorney, why don't they get to just choose to bring in whatever evidence and let the jury sort that out? Oh, not today. No. The judge filters all that evidence, determining whether the jury should hear any of this or not. No. That's not his job. His job is more of an umpire, not to get involved in the baseball game, but to call the balls and the strikes and, the foul balls and who's out and who's safe and that kind of thing. He's to see that the game is played according to the rules, but the players of the game are primarily the jury on the ball field, not the judges. So, but today the judges usually determine what evidence will be submitted. They, often involved in what witnesses are going to be permitted to testify and kind of what they're permitted to be asked, what questions can be brought before them, and all these things that are really manipulating the outcome of the trial. Because if he could determine what evidence could be presented, determine what witnesses can be brought forth and what they could say, and then, even worse, the judge determines what arguments that the attorneys can present in the courtroom. So they kind of have to have pre-approved arguments oftentimes. I know one of the arguments that judges, except in one state, Wisconsin, I believe, is the first state that has done this, that said the judge should inform the jury that they can judge the law. That's part of their job, judging the law. I think that's the only state in the union that does that currently. All states should. But other than that state, the judge will tell attorneys, you cannot tell the jury that they are the judges of the law and the fact, even though legally, even though historically that is the truth, the attorney's not permitted to present that argument in the court of law. In fact, he'll likely lose his license. He'll be disbarred from the legal practice if he does tell the truth about what the jury's job truly is. It's astonishing. Our law courts are really un-law courts primarily, although we have good judges in many cases. A wide number, and perhaps the vast majority of judges, are corrupt. Perhaps some of it not their own fault, because they have gone to what we can only truly call unlaw schools. That is, they have not been trained to think in our founders' understanding of law and government, the American view of law and government, that there is a creator God, our rights come from him, and the sole purpose of government is to secure and protect those God-given rights. They've been trained in another form of government that is not according to our founders' view. There's a socialist view, a view that says that judges make up the law as they go along by issuing their opinions, and judges evolve the law. All that's completely contrary to our founders' understanding of what government and the judiciary is supposed to be about. But they've all been trained in this.
David, we're going to have to interrupt you. We're going to be going to a break. Well, our guest today is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're trying to get people to understand the foundations of our freedom. And, of course, the courts are a very important part of that, but they've been altered. Why? Because, of course, they want to do away with the power of the jury to determine whether the law is legal. They want to do away with the power of the jury to determine guilt or innocence, because they want the judge to be able to tell the jury what to do. And that is totally foreign to our concept. We're going to be back in just a moment here. The Constitution is the issue of the Constitution. Time we put our nation on our...
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. And before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can actually set up a program and begin teaching this. Pastor Whitney, just a week or so ago, graduated 500 students in Ohio. Who have taken these courses. And this is what we need all across America, people understanding our Constitution And you can do that in your home, in your church, in your club, but you need to have the background. You need to have the various DVDs that will allow you to put the courses on. They've done all the work for you. You just need to host it, and we need to get the American people to understand the foundations of our freedom, our Constitution. I hope we're going to take America back. It's going to have to be from the bottom up, because believe me, the Brotherhood has taken control of the central government. This subversive group is using our financial and military power to bring about a world government and to install people like Barack Obama, who's ruling by executive order just like any dictator. Go right ahead, David.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we're very excited that this past weekend was such a great encouragement to meet people hosting. There were 18 classes that were taking place all in Western Ohio, south of Toledo and north of Cincinnati and that kind of zone, and Columbus and West. Very exciting. Those 18 classes that were of various sizes. Some were just a living room group, half a dozen people gathered together in a friend's living room. Other were meeting in churches and had 50, 60 people in the class. All sizes are valuable, because what they do is train people in our founders' understanding of law and government, in the limitations they placed upon the federal government in our Constitution. And our course is designed to give people that working knowledge of the Constitution. So as I said to them in graduating them, you are now better prepared and better qualified to hold office, not only in your county, but in the state of Ohio and including in the federal government, because 99% of the people in those current positions, county, state, and federal, do not have your knowledge of what the purpose of government is and the limitations that our founders structured into our constitutional republic. I had a friend there who's hosted, I think, 4 or 5 classes now, and he's multiplied, and other people are hosting classes who graduated from his class, and he is now running for the State House in Columbus. We're praying that God would give him success, because he could take his constitutional knowledge to the government of the state of Ohio and see that Ohio abides by following the rules of the road, so to speak, and seeing that Ohio limits, Ohio as a state would be the most powerful force to limit the effect of unconstitutional laws upon the citizens of the state of Ohio. People can get our host kit either by calling us toll-free here at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And if you prefer, you could go to our website and order a host kit there. And that website address is theamericanview.com. The American View, all one word, and it could all be lowercase, theamericanview.com. And when you go to the very first page of theamericanview.com, you'll see a button there that says Courses. Click that, and right beneath that, you'll see U.S. Constitution Course, and that'll take you to the information about our host kit. And the host kit is designed really to be a turnkey method by which anyone can conduct a course that will train fellow citizens in the founding principles, as well as give them a working knowledge of our founding documents. And Dr. Stan, the 18 people hosting classes this past semester, from all walks of life, some professionals, white collar kind of jobs, others blue collar and housewives and retirees, people from every walk of life, because it's designed for everyone to be able to do it. We have recorded the lectures on DVD, so the 12 lectures are already done for you. The student manual is a detailed outline of each one of those lectures, and we encourage each student to get a manual themselves, because it contains readings that are part of the homework between the sessions that meet the 12 weeks in a row, and gives them test questions, supplemental materials that are essential for them to grasp. And I've talked to many students who've marked up their student manual thoroughly with notes they put in the margin to make it personally valuable to them as a resource to go back and make reference to as they encounter things in the future. And once you've taken the course, it's very easy to become a leader, a host of a class. And so we see that multiplication taking place time and again. As people graduate, they say, I need to get a host kit.
I need to start a class. And like you said, Dr. Stan, if we don't do it, if the grassroots citizens of America do not stand up for liberty, it is going to be lost, and maybe lost forever, because it's a rare occurrence in the history of the world that liberty prevails over tyranny. And we're in the midst of that battle right now. So and this is something that everyone can do. Not everybody can necessarily run for office or do a number of different things in the fight for liberty, but everybody can conduct one of these classes. So I urge the listeners, get a host kit, either call us toll-free, 866-730-9796, or go to our website, theamericanview.com, and order your host kit today, because it is high time to take our country back, and we need to gather together groups of citizens. And by the way, one of the things that we offer here as a staff at Institute on the Constitution, we are backup for everyone hosting a class anywhere in America. That is, if a question comes up in your class, and I know that this is one of the greatest fears of somebody considering hosting an Institute on the Constitution class in their community. Somebody raises their hand and they ask a question. It's not covered in the lecture or in the notes in the student manual or the host manual, not covered anywhere that you have easy access to, then give us a call at Institute on the Constitution or email us. We'll be glad to get an answer back to you within the time frame such that by the time your next class meets, you can say, you know, last week we had an excellent question asked here by Joe, and we got an answer back from Institute on the Constitution for Joe's question. Here's the answer to that question. And that just relieves all the pressure for somebody hosting a class that they don't need to worry about being an expert on the Constitution. They can rely on us to be there for them in their work of training other people in an understanding of our founders' view of law and government. So we've had hosts that are just housewives that have had attorneys, lawyers, who've sat in on their class. And I remember one told me that she was kind of intimidated because the very first week the lawyer raised his hand. I said, I'm an attorney, I've been practicing law for 20 years, blah, blah, blah. You know, basically, I'm the expert here is what he was communicating. And he basically said, I'm going to be critiquing everything that you say. And this host had been, you know, conducting her class for a number of years. So although a little bit intimidated, was not worried because she knew the material well enough, and she knew the course that it would answer the questions. And by the third week, that man came and apologized to her, and he said, I am truly sorry I said that, because I now recognize I never learned any of this in law school. I was never taught the American view of law and government. I was never taught what the Constitution said. I was taught what judges said the Constitution means, not what the founders said the Constitution means. So there's a housewife making a difference in the life of an attorney who's not only graduated from law school, passed the bar, been serving as a lawyer for 20 years. You can make a difference.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Pastor David Whitney here at the American Freedom Center.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. Pastor David, go right ahead for the last segment here.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, it's exciting to me to see what's happening there in Ohio. That's maybe one of the hot spots, but there's other parts of the country where there are people multiplying the message, and that's the real key, because as we see one host graduate a group of students, and some of those students get a host kit, and they begin leading a group of people, and it just begins to multiply. That kind of grassroots multiplication is what we need to take our country back. And we are, as you know, Dr. Stan, and shared so many of your other shows, we are in very desperate straits. Now is the time for all true patriots to take a stand, and this is one thing that you can all do. And so we'd encourage you to get a host kit and start that class. We were talking about the Seventh Amendment and the protections that it affords us, that a judge cannot substitute his opinion for that of a jury. And then the courts have kind of squished with this a little bit and kind of fudged on the edges of this principle here in the Seventh Amendment and said, well, you know, the judge cannot do that unless he determines that the case was erroneously submitted to the jury. What? Erroneously submitted to the jury? I thought our founders said a jury is your best opportunity for justice to be done. Not a judge ruling, but a jury ruling and making that determination. Oh, but the courts, you know, the all wise courts, they have their supposed wisdom. I don't think it is, according to our founders' vision of what the jury is designed for and what the judge is supposed to be doing. The other thing the courts have also kind of ruled, and again, we use that term ruled in quotation marks, they are not the rulers. They do not make this. The Constitution itself, as it was meant by our founders, that is the rule. But they have said that judge might determine that a jury or that no reasonable jurors could have reached the verdict that the jury reached. Well, I'm sorry, but I see many judges reaching decisions that are absolutely unreasonable, in fact, indicate an insanity on the part of the judges. You might say, David, you're being a little extreme. You're calling these judges insane. Well, yes, I am. Because a person who thinks they are God, and let me repeat that, a person who thinks they are God and judges who overthrow the laws of nature and nature's God and put their opinion in the place of God's law, they are insane because they think they are God. After all, when the Supreme Court ruled in Lawrence v. Texas that all laws that comported with God's law that said sodomy is a crime, that those laws were illegal, those laws were unconstitutional. In fact, those laws were immoral. They said that, immoral. You read the case, Lawrence v. Texas, they said God's law, which says sodomy is a crime, is immoral, it's unconstitutional, it's illegal. They place themselves above God. Anybody that does that is certifiably insane to think they are above God. That means they think they are God. Well, this... you know, these judicial opinions regarding the Seventh Amendment said that they are accepted in most courts of the land to say, well, you know, the jury might seem insane, and so the judge could say, well, no reasonable jury could have reached that verdict, so we're going to overturn the verdict. But that really wasn't what our founders meant with the Seventh Amendment. Judge cannot substitute his opinion for that of the jury, period. No qualifications at all. Well, just quickly, we'll look at briefly at the Eighth Amendment, because this is the final stage. That is, if you have been investigated by the government, and if they have charged you with a crime, and if then you go either to the criminal or to the civil court, and a trial is held, and if you were convicted in that trial, then is the punishment phase, the decision as to what penalty is going to be applied to you. And again, in English common law and history all the way back to Magna Carta, the jury was the one that determined what the sentence would be. That is, the jury might look at a set of circumstances and say, well, in this case, we think there's some mercy that is ought to be mixed in with this penalty. And in other words, we shouldn't throw the whole full weight of the book at this individual for these reasons. Or they look at another case and the jury looks at it and say, no, this guy was vicious and in malicious intent. He did what he did, and we want to throw the full penalties against him. So the jury was originally involved in the decision as to what penalty was going to be applied. And in some cases, that is preserved in our system today, but in many cases, it's just the judge who determines what that penalty will be. And the restrictions the Eighth Amendment places on the government regarding this, first is that no excessive bail is permissible. And bail, of course, is you haven't been charged. I mean, you've been charged, but you haven't been convicted of a crime. And so the presumption in our system of law is supposed to be that you're innocent until proven guilty. That's the purpose of the trial. And if the government cannot prove you guilty in a criminal case beyond any shadow of a doubt, but that because you're presumed to be innocent, you should not be incarcerated until trial. Rather, bail is set such that it assures that you will appear at the trial. So you should be free until there's a conviction because the presumption is that you are innocent until proven guilty. Now, bail sometimes is not offered because they claim that the person poses a danger to public safety or is likely to flee, and therefore they think it's too high a risk factor. Those are kind of the exceptions to bail. But the purpose of bail should be to make sure the defendant does not flee a pending trial, that he shows up in court. And, an attorney for a person who has a long rap sheet might argue, well, Your Honor, he's appeared at every court hearing and every trial that he's ever had. Therefore, you can trust him. You can set bail low. Likewise, it could be argued otherwise that, well, he has heavy ties and connections to the community. His family here is, his church is here. He's involved in these organizations. He's unlikely to flee because of all the ties he has to the community. So all those factors are to be taken into account. But no excessive bail is to be permissible. I think of a case here in Baltimore just a little while back, a couple years back, where an individual was loading his own rounds, which was perfectly legal to do. And loading his own rounds, he had a significant quantity of gunpowder stored properly and so forth. And I'm not sure how the tip was given, but a SWAT team came and broke into his house and charged him with a misdemeanor. Now, a misdemeanor is the lesser type of crime than a felony. And yet, the posting for his bail was over $1 million. $1 million. Why? Because the tyrants don't want anybody having guns or ammunition whatsoever. And they were trying to penalize him in a vicious fashion.
We're out of time, David. God bless. Thank you so much for being with us. Talk to you again next month. Bye-bye.
God bless. Thank you, Dr. Payne.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me encourage you out there across Colorado and Wyoming, where this program is being heard, to give serious consideration to joining the Institute on the Constitution, getting a training set, and begin training people in your region. I mean, there are several thousand people all across America graduating every month. And as this number increases, more and more people understand our Constitution. And, of course, they understand that our leaders are not abiding by it. Why? Because there's this subversive element, and they control our government. And that's what it's really all about. You've got to help us to get people to understand that there's a group, and, of course, it's the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But this little group picks our president, picks our key people. When Barack Obama became president, he picked 11 of the less than 90 members of the Trilateral Commission as his closest advisors. They still surround him today, and they tell him what to do. And believe me, if he gets out of line, why, they'll send him on a trip to Dallas. But we're dealing with vicious people. Behind them are powerful demonic forces. We need to take America back. We do it by starting from the ground up. And your job is to figure out where you can set up one of these training programs. And then once people begin understanding the Constitution, you're going to have to start getting involved locally with your school board, your city council, run for board of supervisors. Remember, the other people do it. We need to start taking America back from the bottom up. We are the majority, those who want to be free, but there's only a small, a subversive and wicked group that want to increase the power of government over every aspect of the lives of the American people. Well, we do hope, of course, many of you will want to go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can get the information there that you need. You can certainly probably get our health care products, because most people are deficient in vitamins. D3, they're deficient in magnesium, and you need those, especially this time of year, to keep from getting flu. The reason you get flu in the wintertime is because you don't get the sunlight, and your vitamin D level goes down, and your immune goes down, and that's why you get the flu epidemic. The last thing you want, of course, is to take the flu vaccine. Oh, because what you want to do is have a higher immune system. And not to take the vaccines, because it alters your immune response. And it's usually the people who've taken the vaccine who come down with the flu because their immunity is lowered. You need so much to learn about this. You need to get the health products. You need to get, we have four CD sets on vaccination. We have books on vaccination. We have certainly, information on aspartame. We have a 4-CD set on aspartame. We have a DVD of Eddie Martini on aspartame. Certainly you need to get the Blalock's a DVD, Vaccines and Brain Development, because vaccines can alter brain development in your child. All of these and so much more available at Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we need people to join the Radio Liberty family so we can maintain our network of stations across America. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio 5 days a week, and you can hear 4 hours of that at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. We ask you to tell others about our program. And we ask you, if you're capable of joining, join the Radio Liberty family as supporters and help finance us. God, pray for you.